my lesson on John the Baptist. I haven't studied John the Baptist probably since I was about elementary school, and so this was a great experience for me. You know, I did about 4 hours of just reading different articles, different things about John the Baptist, and I didn't realize how many religions he was in. I didn't have any idea he was in the Qumran. That was kind of cool. So I'm just going to go ahead and get started. I broke my lesson into two parts. My first part is going to be kind of the foundation stuff. It's going to be about Zacharias and Elizabeth, who they were as people, as Jewish people, about John, and different struggles that his family had throughout their life. So let's just go ahead and get started with, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 1. And with all of these passages that we're going to be looking at, we're going to be going back to a lot of the same ones. And so what we'll be doing is we'll be going to the same ones and kind of building off of what we just read. And then with each section, it'll have a different point because these passages are jam-packed with a lot of information. So John chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. And so, his name was John, and if we believe through him, we will, we would believe through him, and he came to prepare the way for Christ. So, let's just learn a little bit about John's family, about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Let's go over to Luke chapter 1 now. Book of Luke chapter 1, and we were going to start at verse 5. And this is one of those sections that we're only going to read a little bit of it, then build off of it later. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they had both advanced in years. And so what we can see from here is they were both righteous people in the sight of God, and they were unfortunately unable to have children, which is, I know that can be very devastating for parents or people that want to become parents. While reading all the different articles and different commentaries I saw online, I came across this awesome quote: God's delays are not God's denials. I just thought that was pretty important to understand, that even if something's not happening right now, that doesn't mean that God isn't going to bless you later in life. And so God always has a plan. And in Jewish culture, from what I saw, barrenness was a sign of displeasure from God. And so it would have been really easy for them to feel like God was not pleased with them, even though they were blameless in his sight, as we can see from verse 6. But it would just be really easy to be discouraged. But they continued to be faithful, even when they didn't have any children. And so just consider how they felt. Consider how you would have felt in that situation. All right, so let's go to... let's go over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. And by the way, while I'm going through all of this, if you have comments or questions, or just things you want to add, please just raise your hand and let me know, because I love criticism. I love people telling me when I'm right and wrong. So just let me know if you have something you want to add. What did I say? Yep, Matthew 5, starting with verse 11. All right. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So even if we're not blessed right now, or we're not blessed with a son, with our jobs, with our schooling, maybe we live a little poorer, that doesn't matter, because if we are faithful to our God, then we're going to have that reward in heaven. And so, we can learn a lot from these people. I'm really glad we're doing this series of characters in the Bible, because there's just so much you can learn from each and every one of them. Alright, so now we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to my second part. That was kind of a quick part. That was just to set our base layer for this lesson. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. What we're going to do now is we're going to look at 10 points that we can learn from John the Baptist. This is a list that I comprised. This list it just goes throughout the ministry of John the Baptist and everything that he's taught us in his life. So Isaiah chapter 40, starting with verse 3. Now my first point of these 10 is God's prophecy will surely come to pass. We can see throughout all of the Old Testament and New, God makes several prophecies and they all come to pass. This is just one of them. So Isaiah 40, starting with verse 3, "A voice is calling, 'Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of God will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" And so now, there it is told. And so now let's head over to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to be starting with verse 1. And here we can see that it is fulfilled. We can see John the Baptist preaching, fulfilling that prophecy. So, again in verse 1, "Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" So, with these prophecies, we can see that God will not only fulfill his promises, but he will also do as he pleases. If he prophesies, or he has a prophet in the Old Testament prophesy, we can clearly see that he fulfills those promises to complete his plan later on. And so now we're going to look over my second point, which is God does the impossible to fulfill those promises to complete his purpose. Things that no man has the ability to do that God can do. John's parents were obviously older and barren, as we saw back at our first section of verses, and they never thought that they were going to have children, but they continued to be faithful and they continued to serve God. So we can see that God makes these things that we can't control happen, and so we are always under his control and his will. So let's go over to the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be starting at, let's see here, verse 5. Now, again, this is us extending on what we read previously. "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it came about, while he was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God." So we can see actually back in verse 13 where it says, "Zacharias, for your petition has been heard." So they obviously prayed for a child. And it's pretty amazing that when you live righteously in the sight of God, then you will be you will have your wishes fulfilled according to what God says. So God sent an angel to Zacharias to fulfill that prophecy. I don't know anybody on this earth that can send an angel to prophesy, especially that. So that brings me to my third point. We need to be having that same commitment, that same zeal, that same passion that John has for his work in the Lord. So let's go over to Matthew 3, the book of Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to look at the first six verses. Matthew 3, 1 through 6. "Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair, and a leather belt made about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sin." So we can see here that John the Baptist lived in the wilderness. He wore camel's hair, and if you've seen a camel, I don't think that'd be very comfortable. He ate locusts and wild honey, and he went about all of Judea, all of Jerusalem, preaching and baptizing people. From what we can see, he didn't complain about it. He was fulfilling his destiny set by God. He was fulfilling that prophecy. We need to be fulfilling our duties as Christians, just like how John was fulfilling his duty, just like Mark 16:16 says, we need to go out and preach the gospel and have that same type of commitment with our God. And so we need to prioritize the Lord's work. So let's go over to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 12, starting with verse 29. Again, Luke 12, 29. And this kind of goes back to, I don't know if you remember my sermon a month or two ago about staying on that straight and narrow path like I was talking about and never wavering. This kind of goes back to what I was talking about. So again, Luke 12, starting with verse 29. "Do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. So it's so easy to get caught up in our work, in our school, in our families, just our life in general, that sometimes we forget what's truly important. And from what we can see, John didn't do that. He continued to preach, continued to teach in all of Judea. So my fourth point is we must always be prepared. John's mission was to prepare the way for Jesus. So let's go to just a few chapters ahead of, in Luke chapter 21. We're going to be looking at 21-36. So John the Baptist was called to prepare the way for Jesus, and we are also called to be prepared. So Luke 21:36. Keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and stand before the Son of Man. We need to be confident in how we've been acting as Christians, just as we can see John the Baptist was confident in his teaching and his preaching. We need to be confident by praying in the Lord. We need to be prepared and ready. So that one was a little shorter, so let's go to our fifth point, which is let Christ live in us. So let's go over to the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, starting with verse 30. Actually, we'll just be only reading verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. We are supposed to, when we are baptized, we need to make sure that we are decreasing our fleshly lusts and increasing in Christ. When we are baptized, we are agreeing to becoming or letting Christ live in us. So just to reinforce this, let's go over to the book of Galatians. This doesn't have to do with John the Baptist, but it applied to Christians then, and it applies to Christians now. So Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So he died for us. He gave himself up so that we could have eternal life in heaven with him. And so we need to let him live in us and live in God by faith. So, how much is Christ living in you? That's just something I want you to think about as you go through your day, just through your week. Just think about how much Christ is being shown in your life. And so, my sixth point, do not be afraid to stand for what is right. Let's go over to the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, we'll look at chapter 3 again. Now, the point that I'm trying to make with this passage is, the setting is John the Baptist talking and rebuking the Pharisees and Sadducees and just standing up to them. So Matthew chapter 3, and so we're going to start actually at verse 5. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our fathers. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And we'll get into the baptism of Jesus in just a little bit, in just a few minutes. But we can see back in verse, verse 7. He rebukes them, but after doing so, he tells them what they need to do. He tells them in verse 10 that a tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, which is exactly true. He just rebukes them, and then he still teaches the gospel and repentance. And we also know that at the end of John's life, kind of a history lesson, he stood up against King Herod, and he was eventually beheaded because of what he believed in, and because he believed that he was right. And so it took him to the grave. He was willing to die for what he believed in. So my seventh point, our good deeds should point to Christ. So let's go over to the book of Colossians. This again is a verse that isn't about John the Baptist particularly, but it is again just meant for Christians then and now. Colossians chapter 3, and we are going to be starting at verse 17. 3:17. If I can get myself there. There we go. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So whatever we do in our school, in our jobs, in our sports, whatever we do, we need to make sure that we are giving thanks through him to God the Father, and we need to do it all in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus. Everything that we do should be pleasing to God. There shouldn't be anything that is displeasing. And so, you can just see throughout John the Baptist's preaching that he points all his glory to God. Like we just read, he said, "He who is coming after me is greater than I." He doesn't take the glory. He makes sure it is pointed in the right direction. Which brings me to my next point, point number 8. Which is stay humble. If you'll turn with me back over to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, and we will be looking at chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And we will be starting at verse 11. And again, this is just, we just read this, but right before that, he was baptizing people from all Judea and Jerusalem. He is talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and I'm sure everybody that is there. So verse 11. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answering said to him, "Permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God ascending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so we can see actually in verse 11, John plainly states that God is obviously greater than him, and he recognizes that, which is really important. And we can see also in verse 11 that when he says, and I am not fit to remove his sandals, just doing some research on Jewish culture, the slave that removed and carried the sandals of his master was the lowest class of slave in that culture. Which is pretty interesting to know. In verse 14, we can see that John tries to stop Jesus. He's obviously seeing, recognizing that Jesus is greater than him, but he permits it. Okay, so let's go over to my ninth point, which is our faith will be tested. We will have tests and trials in this life, and we will feel weak, but we need to remember that, like I was saying before at the beginning of this lesson, there will always be that reward in heaven with our God if we do what we are commanded to do. So let's go over to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to kind of step back a little bit from Matthew and Luke for a minute. So 1 Peter will be in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, 7. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. You love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So if we believe in Christ, we are baptized for the remission of our sins, and we do what he has commanded us to do in this Bible, then we will have that gift of heaven with him. And just as John was tested, he was tested so much. We can see, I don't know how, it would be really difficult for me to go out into the wilderness to live, I'm sure, with those cold nights and those hot days, wearing a camel's hair with a leather belt, eating that kind of food. And even at the end of his life, he was tested when he was against King Herod and was eventually beheaded. That took a lot of faith and a lot of courage. And finally, for my last point, we are going to look at Matthew chapter 5. John served as a positive example, as a positive role model. So Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 14. So Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This is all going back to being a positive Christian and being that person that when people in this world see you, they should be able to tell that you're a Christian. Everything that we do in word or deed, we need to do in the glory of God, our God the Father. And then just as godly as John. John, now let's go over to John 5. Look at John chapter 5. We will be starting with verse 35. John chapter 5, verse 35. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. So, of course, we need to be as godly as John. We need to be as faithful as John was. But as we can see, we need to shoot higher than that. Christ came to this earth, and he lived a sinless life, and he was sent by God for us. And so we need to be reflecting that image of purity, just as Christ was. And so now, in conclusion, we can apply all these things that I've just talked about. If you look in the first part of what we were talking about with the foundation of his family, they had a lot of hardship. They were descendants of Aaron, so they were priests, and so they had duties that they had to fulfill in the temple. And then they had they were barren. They weren't able to have children. And they were old in age, so they really thought that they weren't going to have children. Even after all of that, they were faithful, and they were blameless in the sight of God. And that's something that's really important to recognize, that even though you may not be the wealthiest person, or you may not have the most physical blessings in this life, if you are a faithful Christian, you will have the most important gift, which is eternity in heaven with our God. John was chosen by God, as we can see as far back as the Old Testament. He was given the destiny to come to this earth and prepare a way for Jesus. He was 6 months older than Jesus, and it's really interesting to go back, you don't have to go back now, but Luke chapter 1, when he was talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, and then you see that the angel comes to Zacharias and tells him he's going to have a son, and he needs to name him John. And just that whole rest of the chapter, it talks about Jesus, and an angel came to Mary, talking to her, saying this basically the same thing, which is kind of cool. We should have that same commitment, that same zeal, that same passion that John had for his work today. He, again, I've said this a lot, but he went into the wilderness. He wasn't exactly as comfortable as he could have been, and he went out through all of Judea and Jerusalem preaching the gospel and having these different people come and criticize him, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, but he didn't let that waver him. Even if you have people in this life that are rebuking you, telling you that what you're doing is ridiculous, you shouldn't be doing it, people at your work, school, wherever, are telling you that, you shouldn't give in to that, because we will have that gift of eternal life with our God in heaven. Just as John was doing that. And then the people around us should be able to tell that we are Christians who follow God's word diligently. People should be able to just look at us and see by our actions that we are godly people. And so now, what I want to do is, we're going to get out a little bit early, but let's close with the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, we're going to look at the chapter 3 verse that we checked out. This one, again, doesn't have to do with John in particular, but it is a really good verse to know. One of my favorite verses. Colossians, right? Okay. Colossians chapter 3. And starting with verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So if there's anything that you take from this lesson, anything at all, even if it's just this last little bit. Yeah, Carl.
If we could go to Herod,
to
John Baptist.
Herod?
He was a mixed up guy. He wanted to kill John, but what accused him of.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how sad you get when you do it. The fact is that he did it. It doesn't matter if he was like, oh man, I feel really bad about doing this, but I'm going to chop off your head now. It doesn't matter. He did it anyway, which is, thank you. Yeah.
I'd like to commend you for how prepared you are, but I also like to say that that's what John did when he was in the desert. He was being prepared.
Mm-hmm. And I've been in the wilderness of Judea, and that is a beautiful place. It's so quiet. You're just to yourself, and you can really think, and you can do a lot in your own mind.
What does it look like?
It has some desert aspects to it. There's trees here and there. I went in June to Israel. And so it was really hot during the day, and it was pretty cool during the evening. So I'm not sure how it would have looked back in their time, but for me, you could have this wide open area, and then there's a town over here, a city over here, and then you have, you know, the Sea of Galilee, and it's just, you can be all by yourself, and you could have no sign of civilization. But there could be a town right on the other side of this hill, or something like that. And something else I want to add while we're talking about my trip to Israel. When it says, if you'll turn with me, where was it? I believe it was Matthew 3. Turn with me over to Matthew 3. If you look, let's see here. Yeah, verse 5. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the districts around Jordan. So that verse right there is pretty key, because word was getting around town that people, that John the Baptist was baptizing people, and was having people repent for their sins. I've been in the marketplaces of Jerusalem, the old city, and you are elbow to elbow with people. There would be in a marketplace, there would be a, let's say right here is the wall of a market. The other market would be right here. And so there are hundreds of people walking through this area on this gravel or this cement. And you can hear people talking right over here at this marketplace. You can hear people over here. And so there's just so much going on that it does not surprise me that word got around quick. And so, yeah, any other questions or comments before I wrap this up? No? All right. Well, again, just I want to close with that verse. I want you to recognize that John was a godly man. He showed faith in every single thing that he did, and he was a great example, and I feel like a great choice for this character series. And so I would like to thank you for paying attention to me. I've never done a lesson this long. But this is my conclusion.